Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Maybe you've heard of World War II. I'm pretty sure it's been in the news, been in the papers, in the history books. The Allies were comprised of course, Winston Churchill, U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and a former Nazi ally, now ally, Joseph Stalin, representing the Soviet Union. And so by 1943, it was time the Big Three, as they were called, decided to get together. And actually meet face-to-face and discuss the next phases of the war. By 1943, of course, the Battle of Stalingrad was over. The Battle of Britain had been won by the British in the summer of 1940. The U.S. was in the war, both in the Pacific and Europe. Sicily had been invaded, and it was fairly obvious to the Big Three that they needed to talk about how the coup de grace was going to be delivered to Germany. And so it was decided that Tehran would be the place where the Big Three would meet. Stalin made it really clear that he was not going to leave the Soviet Union any further than Tehran, because there was talk about Cairo, etc. Stalin knew for a fact, just as the Allies knew, that Cairo was a nest of spies. German spies from the Abwehr, and then the Nazi Party arm called the SD, the Sicherheitsdienst, were all over Cairo, oftentimes rivaling each other, but they were nevertheless doing good spy work in Cairo. And so Stalin knew this because Stalin's primary counter spy agency was the NKVD. They were the guys who were spying on Russians and spying on the Allies and spying on the Germans and the whole thing. Well, so Stalin said, I recommend Tehran. And Churchill and Roosevelt, you know, that's a long haul for a guy in a wheelchair, for FDR. But he agreed to it. And so you have to know something about the World War II status of Iran. Iran was occupied by the British and Russians early in 1942 when America entered the war, because the American Lend-Lease supply convoys going up to the northern part of Russia were being savaged by Nazi U-boats and all that. And so it was seen as the most obvious thing here is if the Brits and the Red Army occupy Iran, then Lend-Lease tanks, and keep in mind, the Russians don't publicize this, but thousands of American tanks, Sherman tanks, thousands of American P-39 Aero Cobras. We gave that to the Russians in a so-called Lend-Lease and never asked for the money back, you know, but it had to get there somewhere. And so the most reliable way to do it was to bring it up to the Indian Ocean coast of Iran and then put it on rail lines through Iran into the Soviet Union. So that was what was decided. So consequently, Tehran was secured by thousands of uniformed NKVD troops. The NKVD was the forerunner to the KGB. And so Stalin said, "No, I guarantee the security here." Well, what Stalin didn't know was that the German Abwehr, the German counterintelligence had broken a U.S. Navy code, and they saw talk about a Tehran conference in November of 43. And so the legend goes like this, that head of the Abwehr, Admiral Wilhelm Canaris, went to Hitler and said, "Hey, look, I happen to know that the Big Three are going to be in Tehran." Because little known to the Russians and the British, Tehran was covered in German spies as well, because Mohammad Reza Khan, who was the titular leader of Iran, was not a big fan of the British and the Red Army. In fact, he was courting German investment, etc. And so German spies were very comfortable in Tehran. And so they, and if this is starting to sound like The Eagle Has Landed, the famous Jack Higgins novel that became the movie with Michael Caine and Robert Duvall and all that, that's because this inspired it. And so the plan was put in front of Hitler that, hey, look, let's pre-position some radio men in Tehran, and they'll update us about the final dates and the whole thing. Then we'll parachute in a team of hitmen that our great commando, Otto Skorzeny, will put together. And he's already done some work on this. He has put together not only some German commandos and paratroopers, but he has some defectors from the Red Army who have agreed to join the Russian National Army of Liberation, but we're going to peel them off. And the team will go into Tehran dressed as Red Army soldiers. And at the end of one of the days of the meetings, they will burst into the room and they'll machine gun everybody. And if we can, we'll kidnap Stalin. That the word is that Hitler had something personal about Churchill. He wanted Churchill killed. He didn't care about Roosevelt. Just go ahead and kill him, because the Americans are going to have a new president by the end of the day anyway. But Stalin, he wanted Stalin alive. So Skorzeny, according to legend, was going to machine gun the room. And if Stalin survived, because he had a weird way of doing that, they were going to kidnap him. So unbeknownst to the Germans, by the way, there was a Wehrmacht agent, a Wehrmacht officer who was actually a Russian spy. And he had a fully developed German ID. He spoke colloquial, perfect, unaccented German. He was serving actually very well as a Wehrmacht lieutenant. And he discovered the plot because of a drunken SS officer who he was friends with. And when he discovered the plot, he put the full weight of and he informed his head handler there at the NKVD, hey, listen, the Germans have a plot to kill the boss and Churchill and FDR. And he began working his end of it. And meanwhile, in Iran, the first team of German paratroopers, six radio men, landed in October of 1943, and they hoofed it into Tehran. But little did they know they were being tailed. So they're being tailed by the NKVD, by the Red Army. And they set up operations, and two other German teams parachuted into Iran. This much is fact, by the way. This is why the reason that I believe this is a real deal is that the Germans did parachute two teams of commandos into Iran. They were met on the ground by the Iranian National Police Militia, and they were slaughtered. By the way, the American who was put in charge of the 20,000 men who guarded the rail line into Russia in Iran was H. Norman Schwarzkopf, the father of General Norman Schwarzkopf. He was a New Jersey State policeman, very high official, broke the Lindbergh kidnapping and all that. And he had a hand in this. There were American OSS agents, etc. But bottom line, it was broken up. Now, here's the rub. Here's the punchline. Is that when Stalin informed Churchill and FDR, by the way, there was a plot to kill us all here, the British poo-pooed it. They discounted it and said, yeah, we would have known, and because there's as many Brits here as there are Russians, we would have known. And they dismissed it out of hand. Years later, the British sort of did, in fact, acknowledge that, you know, it probably was a real thing, that it was just crazy enough to work. It was an opportunity to get those three guys all at once and the whole thing. And the main deal, as the British discounted it and said, okay, maybe it was a real plan, but that wasn't really what it was. It was a red herring, because Stalin offered Churchill and FDR rooms to keep them safe, just for security, you understand, offered them rooms in the Soviet embassy in Tehran, which obviously was wired to the gills with bugs and all that. So that's one of the reasons that the British said it was probably just a story that Stalin made up about just to get Churchill to stay in the Soviet embassy. After the war, for his part, Otto Skorzeny, the famous German commando, said it never happened. But that doesn't explain the fact that there really were Germans parachuting into Iran a month before the Big Three conference. So anyway, why isn't it a movie? I don't know. It's not a movie. It ought to be a movie. There's enough characters. Somebody make that a movie. Back in a second. with some World War II hand-to-hand combat advice of how to bonk somebody's ears. Right after this, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. By the way, the operation, the German operation to assassinate FDR, Churchill, and Stalin was called Operation Long Jump, and that's the name of the book by Bill Yenne, Y-E-N-N-E, Operation Long Jump. It's a good, quick read, and he answers, he settles the debate, in my mind, about was this really a thing, or, you know, or because the Russians will crow about it, they make movies about it, TV things, and all this, the British poo-poo it, but was it really a thing? And I believe that it was really a thing.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.